Well, church, it is good to be with you. And I am giving thanks that we get to gather together every week and do this thing called church. That's so much more than three songs and a message, as I like to say. It's so much more than that. It's the fellowship of believers together with each other. It's the time that we spend not only here worshiping God, but drawing closer together in the works that we do. And I'm praying that we find ways to connect more deeply with each other. Spend time in a celebration of what God is doing in this place together. It's an opportunity that you have. And I pray that you will find ways to draw closer to each other and draw through that closer to God as well. I'm going to invite us to come into Scripture this morning to the Gospel of Mark. 7th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. It'll sound familiar because you heard it in children's time. And I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit, however the Lord directs you to show reverence for this scripture, which points us to the Word, who is Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this. "Are you so dull?" he asked. I love that. "Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly, all these evils come from inside and defile a person." Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray together. God, your Word is oftentimes difficult for us. Sometimes it challenges us. In fact, oftentimes it challenges us because you know the inside. You know the thoughts. You know the heart more than even we know ourselves. And so when your Word challenges us, by your Holy Spirit, allow that challenge to lead to growth and allow that growth to lead to deeper relationship with you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On, what was it, Thursday, we went, Kristen and I, to be with Brett and Stephanie and baby, I'm so bad with names, baby Preston, as we got to experience that newborn baby. And it was so wonderful. And it's one of the good things about being the pastor, I get to be part of those kind of events, and we'll celebrate that life in the weeks to come, and what a blessing. And I don't take it for granted. That was a gift from God. I have the pictures, if you want to see them, on my cell phone, because we all have pictures on our cell phones nowadays. But I was so excited, and Brett and Stephanie, they're all doing great, and before we held that baby, and we were scoping out the place because we're due in November, you know, trying to see, you know, what goes on here, how it all operates, so that when we go for our baby, we won't be lost or confused. We'll know exactly what we're doing. But before you held that baby, you had to do something important. We washed our hands, went over to the sink there, washed them all up nice to get the back of them too, because you don't want any germs to be on that baby, and you get to hold the baby. It's so precious, so sweet. It reminded me of when Ryan was born. And when Ryan was born, people came to visit us, and oh, newborn baby, get to hold a sweet little baby. Isn't this cute and precious? And of course, we said the same thing. Make sure you wash your hands before you touch the baby. And so our beautiful little niece, Paige, who was about, how old? 8 at the time. Thank God for Kristen, because I would be so lost. We said, I'd like to hold the baby. And we said, wash your hands before you hold the baby. And she said, that sounds great. So very diligently, she went to the sink, washed her hands. Paige, don't forget the backs of your hands too. Oh, yes, yes, all the way up. Good, beautiful. Wash those hands. And she left that sink and she did this. And we said, Paige, think about what you just did. Oh. And she went back to the sink, and she washed her hands again, and then she grabbed the paper towels, and she dried her hands the proper way. It's important how we do things, isn't it? How often do we go into a restroom in a restaurant or a public place, and it says employees must wash their hands before returning to work? How many of you, if you're in the bathroom and you happen to see the employee in there, make sure that they're washing those hands properly, getting the fronts and the backs and in between the fingers before they return to work. It's important. How we do things in our culture has developed this idea that hand washing is important. And we know that because we know about germs. We know about dirt, and we know that the germs on one person's hands, if they work with food, can be transferred to the food that you're going to eat. I worked in a pizza shop for years, and I used to watch the drivers after they would be on the road, gripping their dirty steering wheels, handling that dirty money, would come in to the store and see that it was busy, and want to walk right over to that line to help with those pizzas. And I would always say, stop! Wash your hands before you touch somebody's food. And I had one guy who would always tell me, it's going to go through a 400-degree oven. Ed, wash your hands before you touch the food. And he would grudgingly go over and wash his hands before he would eat. I mean, before he would make something that somebody else was going to eat. It was constantly, it was ingrained into my being that if they did nothing else, if the food was made poorly, as long as they'd washed their hands, at least they'd done something. In this story that we are experiencing with Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, the Pharisees are sticklers to that rule of washing hands. And they didn't know about germs at the time. They didn't have germ theory. That developed less than several hundred years ago. But God knew about germs. God knew that there were diseases that could be carried by not properly washing, by using a pot that something had fallen into and died. He gave rules on how to handle food, how to handle the things that you would use to cook your food. If there was something that fell into a pot and died, you took it outside of the community and you smashed it so that no one could use it again. You washed your hands properly because you did not wish to be unclean. That was quite literal. You didn't want to have dirty hands. God knew that if the people of Israel were using the dirty hands to prepare their food, that the people could be sick. And they didn't have penicillins. They didn't have all of the medicines that we have. They went out to the woods. They found a plant. They picked the leaf. They said, this looks good. They took it back and they rubbed it on the wound. No, they did that sort of thing. Those rules were in place so that the people could experience physical health. It was important. And it lasted for generations. During the plague, in the 1400s, in Europe. Many of the people who were dying did so because they were unsanitary. The rats would live in their house. The rats had fleas. The fleas would bite the people. The people would get the plague and drop dead. The Jews survived in miraculous numbers. The plague didn't seem to bother them. And there was jealousy going on between the Christians and the Jews. Why aren't you dropping dead like we are? And it was because they were kosher. It's because they didn't they handled their food in a way that was clean. They didn't eat rats. You know, they didn't allow rats into their homes, and so they didn't die at the rate of their neighbors. God knows what he's doing, even if we don't. There's a lesson there that you, when God gives you a command, you follow it. And maybe you don't know the reason why, but God does, and maybe it takes eons before somebody figures out what it is, why it is that we do the things that God tells us to do. They're important. Pay attention. But that's outside. That cleans the outside of the body. When Jesus comes into town and walks along the face of the earth and is dealing with these people, Jesus isn't as concerned as they are with the proper hand-washing procedure. And like that customer in the restaurant restroom that sees the employee not washing their hands as specifically as you would like, the Pharisees are watching the disciples and Jesus and saying, "What are you doing? Why aren't your disciples washing their hands the way that we wash our hands? The way the law says. The way the tradition says, why aren't they doing it the way that we've always done it? Why are they doing it so differently?" Jesus knows. Jesus knows that washing your hands all day long will not make you any less a sinner than you were before you washed your hands. You can wash all the dirt all you want. You can do everything you can. Take a shower, take a bath, take a dunk in a lake. It will not make your heart any cleaner than it was before you went in. Jesus knows this, and deep down the Pharisees know this too. The Pharisees get a bad rap, don't they? The Pharisees were the church-going good religious folks. They really were. They wanted to please God most of all. And the way they did that was by their strict adherence to the laws that not only God had given, but that they had added to those laws with their tradition. They really wanted to do it the right way. They weren't evil people, but they had a misunderstanding. They were worried about the outside appearances. They were worried about the way they looked as they walked down the street. They were worried about the way they looked to other Jews, other people in the world, even to other Pharisees. They wanted to be the best at that adherence to the law. Nothing wrong with that. It's a noble goal. But Jesus knew their hearts. And Jesus knew that even though the outside might be clean, the inside he called whitewashed tombs. You clean up the outside, you put a fresh coat of paint on a tomb, but what's inside the tomb? Death. He compared them to a clean cup that has been washed on the outside, but inside is just as dirty with whatever was in there before. You need to clean both the inside and the outside, Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't telling them to forget their traditions. Jesus was challenging them to follow their traditions in a way that led them closer to the heart of God rather than to a cleaner body. Leading them to a right heart rather than trying to live by right behavior. And the message of Jesus Christ hasn't changed for us. That we can dress ourselves up in the finest clothes. We can have ourselves nice and clean, get a fresh haircut, shave this beard off, you know, look really good, but inside is what counts. Inside is what matters. as we leave our church here this morning and we go out into the community, we can look as good as a people can look. And you all are beautiful. I'll let you know that right now. Beautiful people in here. So we go to the restaurant. We go to wherever it is that we're going. We live our lives, and people can't tell the difference whether we were just in church or whether we, you know, just came out of the bar. How that life is lived comes from within and grows out of us. Talk to servers in restaurants. Ask them the worst time for tips. I got bad news. Sunday afternoon, when the church crowd comes in, is the worst time for tips in the restaurants. How is that possible? How can that be? And as Jesus says in the gospel, we do many things like that. We do many things like that. It's got to be within us. The heart needs to be clean. And when the heart is clean, then the behavior will follow. We can't behave ourselves into heaven. We can't behave ourselves into right relationship. It has to be from Jesus. Righteousness has to come from Jesus into our hearts. And only then from our hearts out into the world. If we don't, then we are really, really good religious folks. We're really good Pharisees. The outside might look white and clean, but the inside is dead. Thanks be to God for the challenge of this word. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.